Mini episode 797 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 797. I'm FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with the second part of our 10th anniversary celebration. Our look at the top five North American-based pro wrestlers from January 2007 to January 2017. With the WWE doing its worst job ever at developing new talent in the years immediately following the exceptional class of 2002, the retirement of Shawn Michaels, the intermittent status over the years of Triple H, The Undertaker, Batista, Chris Jericho, and Brock Lesnar, and the inability of any domestic company to challenge WWE's preeminence, the serious candidates for this list were fewer than you might think. We based our criteria on an amalgamation of money-drawing success, including Dave Meltzer's well-stated more-over-than-his-push metric, and ability to deliver the snowflakes in impactful matches. Here's our list. Number 5, Randy Orton. He was less over than his push relative to the rest of our list, and outside of his hot world title program with Christian in 2011, you'd be hard-pressed to point to a great series of matches with anyone, but he was consistently at or near the top of the card throughout more than anyone not named John Cena. In 2008, he became the first heel not named Triple H to walk out of WrestleMania with a world title, and his return from injury in the early part of 2009 led to a heel run that was the hottest chapter of his career. Once an untrusted hothead behind the scenes, he's been treated as old reliable by the promotion for most of the last half decade, and he has come to represent the modern WWE in many ways, for good or ill. Number 4, AJ Styles. Perhaps the only pro wrestler capable of transcending the slop of Impact Wrestling, AJ did the unthinkable, rising to become the top wrestler in the PWI 500 in 2010. And then, when his status as five-time world champion could not even get him a respectable paycheck from Dixie's House of Horrors, he went to New Japan, immediately becoming IWGP champion and leading the venerable Bullet Club. And then, he jumped to WWE, being one of the few signees of the last decade to bypass developmental, immediately got over, and went down in history as the first anchor performer for SmackDown in the company's second brand split. A career once seemingly destined to go down as one of the most underappreciated ever has reached new heights with a WWE world title reign and multiple victories over John Cena and Dean Ambrose on pay-per-view. Number 3, CM Punk. It seems fitting that a guy who is so love him or hate him personally had a career that defies such easy categorization. His 434-day title reign was the longest of the modern era, but as he'd be the first to point out, he never headlined a WrestleMania and was consistently in the semi-main event matches behind John Cena even when he was, quote-unquote, on top. He wrestled almost all of the big stars of his era, but again, as he'd be the first to tell you, he was looking up at the lights more often than not, especially against The Rock, The Undertaker, Triple H, and Brock Lesnar. His epics with Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, and Daniel Bryan were incredible, but he did some of his best work, including his career-defining 2011 Money in the Bank Classic against a wrestler who is his opposite in many ways, John Cena. He and Randy Orton were the only big stars of the era to spend significant time on top of both Raw and SmackDown during the first brand split, but again, both lingered in the shadow of Cena when they were on the same show and not in a program with him. His extreme frustrations, which the WWE opportunistically tried to shoehorn into his 2011 title program and a 2012 DVD on the heels of his hugely effective pipe bomb promo, erupted uncontrollably after the 2014 Royal Rumble and ended his career, unless you believe the never-say-never ethos of WWE. but it's still remarkable that a career potentially destined to become a footnote in January 2007, with Punk's mentor and protector Paul Heyman recently gone from the company, blossomed into one that made such history in WWE. Number two, John Cena. With the changes in the business since the outset of the Attitude Era, in terms of drawing money, nobody has come close to Cena in the last decade, primarily because of all the merch that he sells to kiddies. But again, to his credit, the last 10 years have also seen him grow into a star capable of having great matches, with his 2015 U.S. Open challenge on Raw spotlighting him against an array of today's top young talent. At the same time, his lack of positive appeal to the very important core of young males in the audience has put a cap on his appeal and forced the company to confront the unprecedented issue of main event babyfaces getting booed out of the building. It's a dynamic that subsequently poisoned Roman Reigns' ascension to the top as well. As mixed as his in-ring legacy is, however, 15 world titles in all, he has solidified his status over the last decade as one of the biggest stars of all time, and probably the biggest one in the company outside of the 1980s and 1990s booms except for Bruno Sammartino. Number one, Daniel Bryan. Like the number three guy on this list, CM Punk, he was one of the foremost independent stars of the 2000s, and both then and subsequently in WWE, each had a plethora of great matches, including with each other. And each man's career ended close to the same time, with Punk's neck injury knocking him out less than 4 months after Punk's departure and just a handful of matches coming in the short-lived 2015 comeback. But of the two, it was Bryan who connected deeper with fans, at least those outside the Windy City. He did get to headline a WrestleMania, and WrestleMania 30 at that, conquering Triple H and then Batista and Randy Orton to win the newly unified WWE World Championship. Notwithstanding Vince McMahon's intentions to feed him to Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam that year, he truly was set up to remain a major star for years to come, having gotten some of the biggest sustained crowd pops since the Attitude Era on his way to the top. At a time when fans rightfully pointed out how WWE had lost its way in terms of booking top babyfaces that the crowds wanted, Bryan burst through every barrier in his way to become the most beloved star in the industry. Despite the fact that he started and ended this career outside of WWE rings, nobody produced the combination of crowd adulation, great matches, and the ability to draw regardless of positioning on the card that he did, and thanks to the WWE Network, his matches will live on in the eyes of fans forever. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.